Now, I had seen that Buddhist organizations could be run only by Buddhists. It was clear to me, therefore, that Buddhist organizations could be run only by those who had gone for refuge, only by those who had committed themselves wholeheartedly to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And there was another thing that was clear to me, which was that a Buddhist organization that was run by Buddhists, that is to say committed Buddhists, would no longer be an organization. Not an organization in the ordinary sense of the term. It would be a spiritual movement. In fact, it would be what we call a spiritual community. That is to say, an association of committed individuals freely working together for a common spiritual end. Thus, we would no longer have spiritually uncommitted people running a so-called Buddhist organization. Instead, we'd have spiritually committed people running a spiritual movement, running a spiritual community. In this way, commitment would give birth to spiritual community. And hence the title of tonight's talk, which is Commitment and Spiritual Community. So we can begin to see in what sense the FWBO is an order. Can begin to say perhaps what it was that led me to start an order rather than yet another Buddhist organization of the usual type. In what sense the FWBO is also a movement of friends, we shall see a little later on. An order consists of those who have been ordained, who are ordained. In Buddhist terms, ordination means giving formal expression, that is to say, expression in concrete form to one's commitment to the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, and having that commitment recognized by others already committed. One can join an organization by paying the required subscription. But one can be received into an order only by way of ordination. That is to say, only by committing oneself. So this was the basis on which our new Buddhist movement was founded. The basis of commitment and spiritual community. Or, in more traditional Buddhist language, going for refuge and sangha. This was, in fact, the only basis on which it could be founded. And one might therefore wonder why it had taken me, personally, such a long time, apparently, to see this. You might wonder, in fact, why nobody else had seen it. Why nobody else had thought in terms of commitment and spiritual community. Why nobody else, in recent times at least, had started an order instead of yet another Buddhist organization. And so far as I can see, there are three reasons for this. And we'll go into them just a little because this will help us get a clearer idea of the difference between spiritual community and religious organization. Before doing that, however, I want to go back just a bit. I want to say something about going for refuge. This, after all, is the basis of everything. So what does one mean when one says, to the Buddha, for refuge I go, to the Dharma, for refuge I go, to the Sangha, for refuge I go? The word refuge, the English word refuge, to begin with, is not very satisfactory. It's a literal translation of sarana in Pali and Sanskrit, but it doesn't give its real meaning. There's no question of running away from anything when one goes for refuge. There's no question of taking shelter with anyone. Going for refuge really means commitment. One commits oneself to the Buddha, commits oneself to the Dharma, commits oneself to the Sangha. So what does this mean? First of all, committing oneself to the Buddha. This does not mean handing oneself over to the Buddha, as it were. It doesn't mean blindly obeying the Buddha. It means taking the Buddha as one's ideal, or, if you like, taking Buddhahood as one's ideal. The Buddha, the historical Buddha, Gautama the Buddha, was a man, was a human being, and by his own human efforts, he developed higher and ever higher states of being and consciousness, states that eventually culminated in what we call enlightenment, which is the highest conceivable state of moral and spiritual perfection, a state of supreme wisdom, of infinite compassion and absolute purity. Now, we too are men. We too are human beings. We too, therefore, according to Buddhism, are capable of developing higher and higher states of being and consciousness. We too are capable of attaining enlightenment. So this is what committing oneself to the Buddha means. It means recognizing the Buddha, Gautama the Buddha, as the living embodiment of the highest conceivable state of human perfection. It means recognizing Buddhahood as a practicable ideal for all human beings, and also actually directing, actually devoting all one's energies to the realization of that ideal. This is what we mean by committing ourselves to the Buddha. And then committing oneself to the Dharma. What do we mean by that? The Dharma is the teaching of the Buddha, and it's concerned mainly with two things. It's concerned, first of all, with the goal or state of enlightenment or Buddhahood, and secondly, it's concerned with the path leading to the attainment of that state. Committing oneself to the Dharma, therefore, means actually following the path in order to realize the goal. And the path consists of various steps and various stages, and these are variously enumerated according to the particular point of view adopted. One very popular enumeration of the stages of the path is that of the three stages of morality, concentration, and wisdom. Another enumeration is that of the Noble Eightfold Path. This is not really a path of eight stages, as is generally thought. It's really a path of two stages. First of all, a stage of vision, and then a stage of transformation. The first stage, the stage of vision, represents an actual vision of the goal, not just a theoretical idea, but an actual spiritual experience. And the second, the stage of transformation, represents the gradual transformation of all aspects of one's being, from the highest to the lowest, in accordance with that vision. Then there is also the path of the six perfections. The six perfections being giving or generosity, morality, patience, vigor, concentration, and wisdom. So committing oneself to the Dharma means following the path in any of these ways. It means committing oneself to the process of one's own development as an individual by whatsoever means. And then thirdly, committing oneself to the Sangha. The Sangha is, of course, the spiritual community, the community of the spiritually committed. The Dharma, as we've seen, is the path. That path consists of various steps and various stages, and different individuals are on different steps, at different stages. Some are more advanced than we are, some are less advanced, some are equally advanced. So, what is our attitude towards them? We reverence those who are more advanced. We are receptive to them. We're receptive to their spiritual influence, and we assist them in their spiritual work. We help those who are less advanced than we are. We give advice, and we give moral support as and when we can. And we enjoy spiritual fellowship with those who are equally advanced with ourselves. In fact, we enjoy spiritual fellowship with all members, inverted commas, of the Sangha in different ways, in differing degrees. So this is what we mean by committing ourselves to the Sangha. It's true, each individual must develop by himself, by his own efforts, but we develop more easily, more enjoyably, in spiritual fellowship with others. We could even say that spiritual fellowship is necessary to individual development. In the spiritual community, all help each, and each helps all. And in the end, all narrow, pseudo-religious individualism is transcended. There's only a spiritual community of individuals who are, as it were, transparent to each other, individuals through whom the light shines, the light of enlightenment. So much then for going for refuge. It should be clear now what we mean when we say, I commit myself to the Buddha, I commit myself to the Dharma, I commit myself to the Sangha.